praise the Lord. Amen. I asked you gave a prayer request to my brother, Jackson. Brother Todd and his wife and his mom and dad had COVID. Contacted me last week, and that's why Brother Todd wasn't here then. And like COVID does, if you have any weaknesses, any weak organs or anything, it attacks them. And of course, Brother Jackson was already pretty ill in health. And so now it's, they've called in, he's COVID clear now, but he's dying. And so they've called in hospice to the home. And Brother Todd just requests your prayer for him and the family, his dad. And he asked that the Lord help his dad to relieve him of the suffering that he's suffering right now and going through, and help him to pass easy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scriptures. Heavenly Father, Lord, we again ask prayer for Brother Todd and his family and his dad, his mom. And Lord, his mom is really suffering mentally right now from this. And Lord, she's two that's been together many, many years. Lord, she's been with him since she was 16 years old. And Lord, and it's a hard thing what she's going through and what Brother Todd's going through. And I pray, dear God, that you'll comfort them. Dear God, I pray you'll ease Brother Jackson's suffering, dear God. And Father, that you will, Father, ease him from this life, dear God. Knowing, Lord, that he's going to be stepping into a new body, Lord, as he walks from this dimension to that one. And Lord, we ask for the service today that you be with us, dear God, that you would give us, Lord, the anointing that we need and the guidance, Lord, to go through the scriptures and the text that you've laid on our heart this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. I'd like to preach again on Thou Mighty Man of Valor. This will be a part two, Brother Chris, from last Sunday. And verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was by Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, O my Lord, if God be with us, then why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord said unto him, go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And you may be seated. There's times when we start to go through things, and you know, you feel all alone. And you don't feel the presence of God around you. You're not feeling like you feel when God's blessings seem to be upon you. And sometimes it grips you like a cold hand. And fear wants to take hold. And loneliness wants to take hold. And when you're going through something and you seem like you're praying and seems like nothing's happening. And many times, though, it's because we're praying for the wrong thing. Sometimes we're praying, oh Lord, I don't want to go through this.
Right.
And yet the Lord has actually determined you're going to go through it. And God wants you to feel those things of being like nobody's on your side. Because he wants you to realize when he comes on the scene that it wasn't you by your strength or your might or your abilities that you made it through the trial, but it was by the grace of God, his strength, his might, his ability that took you through the trial or whatever it is that you're facing. And there's many times when this is on us, we don't feel so brave. We don't feel like a mighty person of valor. We don't feel like we got any valor. We don't feel like, as humans, we hate it when things seem to get out of our control. And we like to feel like we've got some control over our situations and over our lives. But I want you to realize something. You don't have any control. Any control you think you've got, you've just fantasized that in your mind. Because you don't have any control. You don't have any say-so over your life. God's the one that has say-so over your life. He's the one that's got control. Amen. And the reason we can defeat the devil is because greater is he that's in us. It's because of God that's in us. It's not because of our abilities. It's not because of our might or our strength. And, you know, and the Bible says that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. In other words, he fulfills it through our weakness. You know, you see in the Old Testament when God took and told Moses how to construct the tabernacle, that in the holies of holies where he was to place the Ark of the Covenant, which held the Word of God, he placed it behind badger skin. That was the curtain that covered and hid. It was badger skin. And to show humanity that the Word of God is hid inside these frail vessels, inside, behind. You know, that's the wonder, is seeing God in this weak flesh.
Amen.
To see God in one another, and we're weak. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh has no strength. Our flesh can't overcome the smallest of trials. At the very tiniest trial, our flesh will fail. We can't rely on our flesh. Our flesh didn't get the Holy Ghost. What we've got to rely on is the Holy Ghost. We got to rely on God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Not that we're greater than he that's in the world, but what's in us is greater, which is God. Amen. But we don't always feel so brave. But I want you to realize something, friends. You can't be a sissy and be a Christian. For you to walk and choose to walk this Christian life, that shows you're brave. That shows you've got some valor. Because cowards can't do it. Sissies can't do it. If you're afraid to testify of God's saving power, then God can't use you. If you're afraid to testify, I mean in the face of when the symptoms are still there, when it seems like the sickness is still there, when it seems like the disease is still there, all the symptoms are there, all the critics around you, they can see it, they can witness it, and know you're still sick. But in the face of that, for you to say, God has healed me. By his stripes, I am healed. That takes bravery.
You look at all that you have come through over the years. Many of you have been serving God for years. We got Brother Horn and Sister Hornerback that have been serving God since Brother Branham's time. Look at all that you have come through over the years. Look at all of the fanaticism that you've saw. Look at all the false that's been around you, that's crept up all around you. Look at all the false doctrines here and there that have rose up and seemed to try to beckon. But you overcame that and you kept going. You weren't discouraged by it. Look at all those that rose up and fell by the wayside. But you weren't discouraged. You're still here. You're still fighting the fight. Why? Because you are a mighty person of valor. Why? Because you are God's children. Friends, the essence of God is what you are. You're made up, the real you, not this flesh body, but the real you is made up out of the same stuff that God was made up out of. And he never had a beginning. And Brother Branham said, if you're eternal, that means you've never had a beginning. And the reason you can say you never have a beginning is because you come from the one who never had a beginning. You come from God. Oh, it's not to say your flesh hadn't been discouraged over the years. It's not to say that you and your flesh at times haven't questioned, well, God, if you're with us, then why is all this befalling us? Why is my going through this? Why is this happening to me if you're with me? It's not to say your flesh hasn't questioned, God, do you love me? Because your flesh has. But there's been something on the inside of you. Friends, it was a seed of God. I'm not even talking about the Spirit of God right now. I'm talking about that seed gene of God, that part of you that was a part of God. That part of you that was there even when you were in sin. That part of you that was there when you were at your worst. Now I thank God for young people that give their lives to God when they're young and serve God when they're young. But this morning I'm also talking to those that have come from the dregs of sin. I got news for you. It doesn't matter whether you were raised in this message or not. That ain't got a thing to do with it. Because there's been a lot that's been raised around this message that were in the dregs of sin. And I don't care how you were raised, you needed to be saved. Everyone needed to be saved. Because the Bible said we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And came forth speaking lies. I'm thankful if we've got young people here this morning. I see Brother Caleb and Sister Lisa over here. You know, if they don't have the scars that this life can give you, if they never get the scars that this life can put on you, then praise God. Because I'll tell you something, in your human memory, those scars stay there. And there is a fella that I've become acquainted with that won't let you forget about it. And his name is the devil. You know, we're not supposed to say bad things about people. You know, Brother Branham said that. The Bible says that. Jesus says that. Brother Branham said one woman she didn't want to say anything bad about the devil, so she said, he's a good adversary. In other words, he's a good bad guy. He's always on the job. And he ain't going to leave us alone. Friends, if you thought getting saved would make the devil leave you alone, you're wrong. If you thought getting the Holy Ghost, there were some people that thought getting the Holy Ghost would make the devil leave him alone. You're wrong. The Holy Ghost is not, it's not God pulling you up through a pipe where you never have any trials or temptations. Brother Branham said, you come out the other end and say, I'm an overcomer. You ain't overcome nothing. Everyone's got to overcome. Gideon had to overcome his own self. Gideon had to overcome Gideon before he could ever overcome the Midianites. Now, that was Gideon's flesh speaking. Well, if you're for us, then why are we going through this? Why is all this happening to us then? If you're with us. They were thrashing out secretly to hide it from the Midianites. And yet the angel of the Lord said, you're a brave man. Why? Because he was thrashing out, period. He was still doing it anyhow. Remember when Gideon brought the people of Israel and was going to go up against the Midianites? And God said, you got too many. And the first ones that God got rid of were the cowards. Those that were fearful. God likes you. Look, friends, there's been times in your life when you seemed like you had friends all around you. And seemed like you went through times where it seemed like one after the other, they would forsake you. Till you looked around at times and thought, well, man, where are my friends? And God likes to get you there. You can't rely on your friends. You've got to rely on God. Now you can rely on the God that's in your friends, if God be in them. But how many's ever had friends they thought were serving God and them turn around and walk away from it? I guess as a pastor would, I always think of when we're getting down close to the end of the year, I always look back over the year, see what's happened during the year, see where we were, see where we are now. But I recently had my 24th anniversary of being a pastor here. And I've looked, when I was on vacation here a couple of weeks ago, I was out walking, and while I was walking, I got to thinking of all of the people that at one time or another has been in this church under the ministry here. And you know, when I think of all the different ones, it can get a little discouraging. And, you know, we're going to be having, not too far off from now, we're going to be having a wedding. And so that got me to thinking of all the weddings we've had since I've been here. And I thought of how many of those weddings, how many of them are still together. That's why I've always joked around and said I've had more success burying people than marrying people. But, and I've thought of the ones that aren't no longer serving God. They either got married and then quit serving God, or quit serving God and went and got married. Oh, there's some of them say, still say they're serving God. I'm going to tell you something, friends. That religious stuff, that's the worst stuff. I'd rather deal with them that turned around and just went right out in sin than them that's walked away from this message and still think they're serving God. Because what they've got is a religious spirit. And Brother Branham said that is the worst spirit, is the religious spirit. You can't tell them nothing. And I want you to know something, friends. People don't got to go to church to still have a religious spirit. They can quit going to church and still be as religious as can be. Oh, we believe in God. Well, according to the Bible, that don't really even separate you from the devils. Because they believe in God, the Bible said. But I've thought about all the ones that's been here and the ones that have left. Now, I know there's been some that's left here and went to other churches. Now, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones who are not even no longer serving God. That's what I'm talking about. And yet, you're still going on. And yet, I'm still going on. And I've thought about all the ones that I've known over the years of my life that I thought were really in this message. Preachers who have turned their back on the message. And you know, it ain't just good enough for them to turn their back on it. They've got to say all they can say bad about it. They got to try to find fault with it. And you know why that is? Because as humans, we like to justify ourselves. Humans like to justify their actions. Humans like to justify their unbelief. You don't think that's so? I had somebody tell me one time, they said, "Am I like Esau?" I said, "What do you mean? Do I not even have a chance? God won't even let me repent." I said, "Look, I'm going to tell you something about Esau. Esau's repentance wasn't true. Because Esau didn't care nothing about that birthright. Meaning he didn't care nothing about God. All he wanted was the blessings." And I have met my fill of people like that. All they want is the blessings from God. They don't really want to serve God. They just want the blessings. And when it seems like the blessings are let up, they're gone. And some seed fell on stony ground. And there was no dirt for it to take root. And so they withered. The word of God fell on these people. You say, why are you saying all this? Because I'm showing you what you've been through. That how, as a human, you could feel a little discouraged when you seem like you reached out and you had some brotherly fellowship with people that were here. And, you know, we had our get-togethers, we had our dinners, we had our little picnics and played volleyball and done all these different things and you know, had them over for dinner and you went over for dinner and you know, and all these things, you know, and seemed like every Sunday everybody was together. Then they begin to peel off. And it wasn't enough for them just to peel off. They had to see if they could say something bad about people here. Point at them as their reason for leaving. But you're still here. What I'm pointing at is the discouragement that you could have felt. Because when people do that, you feel betrayal. And there's not a one of us here that can't say that at some time our flesh ain't said, man, I've had enough of this. And of course, the devil sometimes, he wants to point his finger and say, you know what all your problem is? Your problem is because you're going to the church in Dixon. If you'd find you another church to go to, you'd be a lot better off. And I've seen people do that. And I've seen a lot of them not even serving God no more. Couples that have left this church and they're not even together anymore. And they got together with other people and they're not even together with them anymore. But you're still here. You're still plugging on. It seems like over the recent time, we've had a great exodus from this message. The scripture didn't call it the great exodus. The scripture called it a great falling away. You know why? Because we were too many. And Paul said they went out from us because they were not of us. That gives you some identification. They went out from us because they were not of us. Who is this people that's of us? Hallelujah. It's God's people. Amen. Said, all of you that's afraid, fearful? Y'all pack up and go on back. And they had a great exodus. The Bible said that out of their return, 22,000 of the people, and there only remained 10,000 after they said, everybody's afraid, go on back. Yeah, I ain't fighting. I'll just let the Midianites take what they want to. That's what they were saying. And then God says, you know what? There's still too many. There's still too many. There was 12 at the Last Supper. And there was too many. So Jesus turns to Judas. He said, what thou doest, doest quickly. And Judas said, I've got the okay. I've got the okay. And Judas left. And after Judas left, Jesus said, now that we just got believers here, I've got some things to tell y'all. You know, they said that those that went to the upper room said they were hiding out, they were afraid. But they were still brave enough to go do what Jesus told them to do. Somebody had to go secure that room. But by that meaning, somebody had to go rent it. Reserve it. Get it for them. One of them had to go do it. That was brave. Going up there waiting for something that they had no idea really what they were waiting on, that took courage. Because they were doing it at thy word. There's still too many, God told Gideon. He said, so everyone that stands up and drinks out of his hand, put them aside, and all those that get down on their knees to drink, he said, put them to other side. And said, them that got down on their knees showed they had been bowing to idols, so we can't use them. They started out, I told you this last Sunday, they started out with 32,000 and ended up with 300. Now, I've never counted how many we have been. But I know we've had a lot that's left. But we're still a mighty church. When God told me he was going to make this a mighty church, he didn't mean nothing about your numbers. Right. Friends, if you can't look back over your life and see how you have grown spiritually, amen. As a church, you have grown spiritually.
Amen.
You're a lot stronger than you were. You can look back at trials that you went through some 20 years ago and say, man, that was nothing. When
in the world was I so tore up about back then? That wasn't nothing.
And you know what? When they got down to 300, God said, now, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to surround them, make a lot of racket, and we're all going to scream the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that's all we're going to do. You're not going to go down there and physically fight them. You know why? Because the battle is the Lord's. And the Bible says that the Midianites turned on each other. When you can get a bunch of people turning on one another, you ain't got to do nothing. That's what the prophet said about if the devil could get God's people turned on one another, he can just sit back and relax. We don't want to be turned on one another. Hallelujah. Friends, I want you to know something. I'm looking forward to spending eternity with you. There's some of you that I've never been to your house. Maybe perhaps you've never been to mine. But that's in this life. We're coming to a time when we're going to be together forever. We're going to build a fellowship, and you're not going to have to say, well, you know, I got to be going. I got to get to bed. I got to go to work tomorrow. Brother Branham said, if you're afraid, God can't use you. He said, God wants heroes. He said that in Show Us the Father. God wants heroes. He wants people that's brave. Brave enough to tell, God has saved me. And he's filled me with the Holy Ghost. God has healed me. Irregardless of what you see, God's healed me. I'm dying, you might say, but God's healed me. Brother Branham tells a story about when he was out hunting one time. And he set his rifle down by a tree. And he leaned up and he sat down by the tree and said there was a squirrel that just started chattering, 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 chattering. And he wondered, what's got you all upset? And he looked over and a great big eagle was sitting over there. And Brother Branham watched that eagle, and he said, he thought, I wonder if that eagle is afraid of me. And he said he reached over and snatched up his rifle. That eagle just eyed him, didn't make a move. He said, no, he's not scared of me. And he got to thinking, that eagle's brave. Why is he brave? And he said, you know, God don't want cowards. God wants brave men. He don't want you to say here in the tabernacle that you're healed and go out there and meet some fanatic that don't believe in divine healing and him say, yeah, he's a fanatic. That's right. He calls you one. But that's vice versa. Now, if you're afraid to tell him about your healing, you're afraid to testify at your work about saving grace of Jesus Christ, about having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God don't want people like that. And he thought, why is that eagle not afraid? And after a while, he said that eagle got tired of that squirrel chatter. And he opened them big wings and took off. And he said, that's why he's not afraid. Because he's got some God-given wings, a God-provided way. He said, before I could even get that rifle up and level it, he'd be gone. That's why we can be brave. We've got some God-given wings. We got some God-given strength. Even when it gets down to where we look around and say, boy, we ain't many no more, I want you to know there's more with us than there are with them. We've got angels encamped about us. Hallelujah. He said, this is in At Thy Word, he said, he's trying to find someone tonight, someone with childlike faith, who will stand by and say, Jesus, I believe you can do it. If he can get somebody to do that, he will do it. But if you back off and say, I don't know, I'm just afraid. I know I believe you, but I don't. Oh, he can't use you. If there's, that's helpless, a spineless person who claims to be a Christian and afraid to stand on their convictions. God don't want cowards like that. He can't use them. He said he wants like old Buddy Robinson. Said I was reading his book. He was quite a man. And he said, the Lord give me the backbone the size of a saw log and gave me plenty of knowledge in the gable into my soul. He said, just let me fight the devil as long as I got tooth in my mouth. And when I ain't got tooth left, I'll gum him to death. That's the kind of faith and determination we need. Somebody who will do something. At thy word, Lord. Yes, sir, at thy word. At thy word, Lord. Whatsoever things ye ask in my name, that will I do. Then at thy word, Lord, here I come. Hallelujah. This is in A Second-Handed Road. He said, trials may come. We never was promised to be immune from them. But he will give grace to go through them. If the mountain's too high to go over, too deep to go under, too wide to go around, he'll give you the grace to go through it. That's right. Just don't worry. That's where we a lot of times have our problem. We start to worry. We start to try to figure out, now how am I going to do this? But he said, just keep your eyes on Christ. That's the answer. For he's the only one that can take us through it. In Three Kinds of Believers, he said, just remember, God is always on the scene. He's right there ready at any time. Jesus said, I could speak to my Father, and straightway he'd send me 12 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels, just as he commanded. But he had a job to do. He had something to do. He had to go through that. You got something to do. God's got something for you to do. You may have some heartaches and some troubles. You may have some disappointments. But do we pray to shun them? No. We say, Lord, take me through them, whatever it is. Don't let me escape them. If they're set up for me. Just give me the grace to go through that. He'll give us the grace to go through. Hallelujah. Y'all were singing that song, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast a professed a good profession before many witnesses. And he said, I have fought the good fight. You know, when Paul was saying that, when they were coming to chop his head off, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And it wasn't just for Paul only, but all those who will fight the good fight of faith. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We ask, God, that you give us, Lord, the strength as we face this coming week, the trials that we will be facing, the things, Lord, that we may have to go through. Lord, you give us the strength to do it, the grace to go through it. Lord, you've encouraged us this morning with your word. Lord, telling the people, showing them how, Lord, they've stuck with it. Lord, what all we've been through, the discouraging times, times of doubt, times of weakness. But thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. Bless your people this morning, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.